Thanks for coming back and listening to another episode of Count Me In. I'm your host, Mitch Froshong, and this is the 110th episode of IMA's podcast series. Today, you will hear from Mitch Perry, CFO for Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. Mitch is an experienced executive with a demonstrated history of leading effectively across multiple industries, including healthcare, energy, and insurance. In this episode, he talks about business transformation in the context of accounting and finance. Keep listening to hear about some keys, best practices, and strategies for overcoming challenges associated with business transformation.
Mitch, what is the current nature of business transformations, and what do businesses hope to accomplish by going through a business transformation?
Yeah, well, thanks, Adam, for that question. It's really timely for us. We're seeing, you know, a lot of change in healthcare and trying to lead transformation in healthcare. You know, at its most basic form, I look at it as a need to be responsive to really what's going on in the marketplace, how rapidly business conditions are changing, what you need to do to as a company to not only stay current, but hopefully stay in the lead. I think about healthcare and maybe even business in general. You know, what we're living through right now with COVID-19 has really underscored how important it is to be ready to adapt and change and transform to the external market. And what we've seen to some extent is even gives a little bit of an opportunity to accelerate some of that transformation. I view us as an industry that is transforming right before our eyes, and I see us as Blue Cross North Carolina as playing an important role of helping to transform, leading the transformation of healthcare for the better in our state. And the way we look at it is largely from an affordability lens that we've got to drive, transform ourselves and help transform the system in a way that provides for more affordable healthcare for our customers. And a major way we're doing that is through how we transform our payment approach with our provider partners, you know, paying them for quality and outcomes as opposed to fee for service. And even though we're a leader, maybe especially because we're a leader, you know, we're doing it from a position of strength. We're making certain that we're focusing on what we should be doing for the long term. And it kind of allows us to play offense as opposed to maybe having to react and try to transform from a position of defense later. You know, the final point I would make on this question, Adam, is we have had really strong momentum with our provider partners in transforming the payment system before the pandemic. And it really, because of that, has allowed us to maintain momentum and even accelerate it. Some things that weren't initially on the roadmap have now allowed us to even go faster. So think in terms of how we're able to add telehealth into what we're really including as part of our transformation structure. And then, you know, how we're working and bringing our primary care along as well. So it really put us in a position to not only be strong coming into it, but to maybe even go faster through it.
So I think you've given us some great examples of how you've been able to have a successful transformation. What are some of the keys that you've been able to apply to make it a successful transformation?
Yeah, and Adam, I will acknowledge that you know, we are in the middle of this, and maybe all businesses are at some stage in the middle of transformation. But I, you know, the good news is I think I've got some really timely feedback. But there's also the reality that we're learning every day. You know, one of the things I think about is innovation is important. I think sometimes when you talk about transformation, people think about innovation, and clearly there is an aspect to that. But I think about it as being more than about innovation. I think about it as execution being really the most critical part. I don't know if you've had exposure to John Doerr, very successful investor with Kleiner Perkins. He was the lead investor in Google, Amazon, recently DoorDash. I've heard him say before that ideas are easy, execution is everything. And it really hits home for me that, it's great to have all these great ideas, but there are a lot of great ideas. You know, really the key to success is, can you execute on those ideas? And so with that, I've done a little thinking around what are some of the success points, and almost think about it like a little bit of a recipe. This recipe happens to have six items. I will say I'm a pretty simplistic baker. Six items is quite a few, but transformation has some complexity to it, and I think six probably makes sense. And they all happen to begin with the letter C, so hopefully they're a little easy to remember, but the six C's. The first one is courage. I think it takes courage to make changes to the status quo. You have to have energy to continue to be curious. You have to find ways to take measured risks so that you're moving forward, you know, without putting too much of your existing model at risk. The second is communication. I'd say it starts at the executive level, but has to go all the way through the organization. Being clear about what you're driving towards, you know, what we're trying to achieve, why it's better, you know, why, not just trying to make change for change's sake, but why it makes sense for what we're doing. The third is collaboration. And I think what we're doing with our provider partners provides a really good example of that. Transformation requires partnerships. I don't think there's really any way to do it effectively unless you do it with partnerships, whether they be internal partnerships or external. And I think it's important that you invest the time as early as you can in your transformation process, you know, to build those partnerships so that you can get some early wins, and you can withstand the challenges later and you're able to pick up momentum as you move. The fourth is change management. I think about change management as being almost a process to itself. You have to be purposeful. We all understand that as an organization and as individuals, we embrace change differently. We have different risk tolerances, but it's important that you're able to bring everyone along. And there's no way to do that, I think, but to be purposeful around kind of how you work through the organization. And when you're dealing it outside the organization, how you work outside the organization to make certain everyone has a common understanding. The fifth, and this one may become a little more obvious given the fact that the first four probably have some complexities to them, but it's commitment. I like to say that you have to be patient, but you also have to be persistent. You can't change momentum overnight. There will be setbacks. There will be opportunities for people to say this doesn't work, but you have to make certain that you've got the commitment and the fortitude to continue to move forward even during the challenges. And the final one, which I really think underpins them all, is culture. And, you know, the culture of Blue Cross North Carolina is going to be different, say, than the culture of a technology company or any other type of company. And any of those companies can go through transformation successfully, but you have to understand the culture you have and make certain that you're being purposeful around kind of how that culture supports the transformation. What are your norms? What are your tolerances for change? It's just going to have to be structured to fit that company. You can't be something you're not, but it is important that the transformation journey occurs, I think the culture continues to evolve so that the culture continues to become even more innovative and push the boundaries further. So those are the six C's. Hopefully those are a little bit helpful and a little bit memorable.
Yeah, I think they definitely are. And as I look at this next question, I just have to laugh to myself. You know, I was going to ask you, like, can you explain some best practices for setting up and initiating a business transformation? And I think a lot of people are being thrust into it because they were suddenly hit with a worldwide pandemic. So, you know, maybe you can share some of your best practices that you've had, you know, in the midst of COVID, you know, setting up and initiating a business transformation that was kind of, it was kind of thrust upon you.
Yeah, no, I could, that's a great next question, Adam. And I think that the pandemic is a good example that if you were, you know, if you were trying to start it and react to it, you'd be coming from a position of defense and it would be really challenging. It was because of where we were coming from and the strength and momentum we had built that we were able to, you know, withstand some of the challenges. We were able to respond to it. And we were able to accelerate it. If I build off of the 60s, I've got a few things that maybe tease out a little bit more as part of that. You know, the first, and I've used this word before, but it's such an important word, purposeful, being purposeful about what you're trying to do. It doesn't have to be a detailed picture of the desired end state, but at least the objectives. You know, what are you really trying to work from? What are you really trying to work the organization to? Earlier in my career, I remember I heard someone say something that was stuck with me, that activity doesn't necessarily equal results. And so just because you're moving doesn't mean that you're actually getting the results. So being purposeful about the change you're trying to create and not just trying to change because you think that, hey, I have to get out of the status quo. The second one, and this one was in the 60s as well, but worth calling out, executive commitment is essential. It's going to be challenging. There are going to be times when there are rough patches, and it's important that the executives buy in. It's important that executives are the leaders and actually have a visible presence in why what we're transforming to is really going to be meaningful for the company and be meaningful for our customers. Third, I would say, having a structure, and I'm not talking about trying to have something this big and bureaucratic, but making certain that you recognize that transformation is an investment you're making in the business, similar to any other investment, and that you've got a structure to incubate it and support it and manage through it. I think sometimes, and I've been guilty of it in my own career, I'm sure, you try to do things off the side of the desk as opposed to a dedicated or structured way, and it doesn't go as quickly and it's rarely as effective. Fourth, and I've said, be purposeful, have a roadmap. But I think you can't have a roadmap and be rigid. You've got to understand that, I know where I'm trying to drive towards, but, you know, there may be some potholes, maybe some things in the middle that I've got to move around. So you need to be flexible. Have to continue to make sure you've got the appetite to innovate, redefine boundaries, you know, adjust as you go. And the final maybe best practice that I would point to is the underpinning I talked about with the corporate culture. Don't try to be something you're not. Evolve to what you're trying to get to, but make certain that it fits within who you are and the norms you have. The organization has a certain tolerance for how it will manage change and how it will overcome obstacles. And it's important to be able to fit and manage within that corporate structure.
So you touched on this a little bit, you know, on your fourth point that you just made about being flexible, because not everything is going to go smoothly as you all thought it would. So what are some challenges that people can expect or potential pitfalls to be aware of?
Yeah, I think one of them, it goes back to executive, goes back to change it from a leadership standpoint. Resistance to change is definitely something, any change you have, whether it's a big transformation or whether it's something smaller, you're going to have situations where there's resistance to change. I've heard it described as the antibodies of an organization trying to fight off organization and trying to kill it. So that's where I think the executive commitment, that's where you gotta make certain that you've got the right buy-in. Secondly, really closely tied into that, there are going to be setbacks, no doubt about it. As we've gone through our provider partnership structure, setbacks with how we get the data. The pandemic itself, to some extent, was a setback because in the early days, the providers were, were basically had their focus was changed, and even their cash flow. And so we had to figure out how we're going to deal with those setbacks. So it's important that you've got that commitment, you've got that willingness to adapt and push through. I think third is there will likely be some reduced productivity over time. Sometimes we all know it's easier to continue to do things the same way some in the near term than improve. And it can cause reluctance, and it can cause additional cost and additional burden. And I think that's why it's important that you have a structured approach. We call it bubble funding here at the company, but whatever you have, some type of structure that builds in for the inefficiency that you're likely to have in the process. The fourth is maybe tightly tied to that one and to the third. And I think about this a lot as our company CFO. Every dollar we spend is an investment in something, whether it's an investment in near-term priorities or longer-term priorities. And when you've got things that you've got to get done near-term, sometimes it's challenging to think about how you make investments in those transformational activities over the long-term. And so it's purposeful that you treat it like an investment and that you're able to communicate what's the tie to the strategy. How do I think about it from a priority standpoint? And then the last one really kind of, I think, relates to almost all of these. And that's that communication is key. There'll be gaps, and make certain you're being purposeful about the change, purposeful about the communication. I like to say it's a little bit of spreading the truth, making certain that everyone understands where we are and where we're trying to go as we're pushing through some of the challenging times of transformation.
It's almost like these things that you've just mentioned, these pitfalls, they can almost serve as learning opportunities to improve the business even more. Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the organization does learn as they go and evolves. And it gets back to that cultural part that I've talked about. Take it from where you are at the time, but continue to evolve, be flexible, have a basic understanding where you need to go, but also know that, hey, I can't work out every single item or every single potential outcome because there'll be some things that will need to evolve, but be flexible, be purposeful, and then you'll be able to adapt as you go. And again, the pandemic is a great example for how we've done that. Telehealth was on the roadmap, but it wasn't really a focal point for us as part of our provider partnership efforts. But we've been able to successfully shift it to where now it's a meaningful part. And so it's being open and willing to be flexible to those learnings as they occur.
With all that being said, how important is it to make sure proper governance and internal controls is in place prior to a business transformation, and why?
Yeah, Adam, I think about governance in two ways. The first way is I think about governance of the transformational effort itself. That one is definitely important for all the reasons I think we've touched on here. You have a purposeful plan that you can execute. Again, execution is the key part. Making certain you have visibility across the enterprise, really treating it like a major investment activity that it is. That is important that it and it has a separate governance structure and fits within the governance structure. The second way I look at governance is you've got a governance structure now over your existing processes, and you're moving to a governance structure over your new processes or your new structure. And that's also important to think about. I think it's important to be purposeful when you're switching to that new approach. You don't want the interim state to be too long because, create confusion, but you don't want it to move too quickly because then the organization isn't ready to move into the new structure. I do think it's important to be purposeful about when you roll out the new governance, because it might not, in fact, it probably won't fit within the legacy processes. One of the things we say here is we're as part of the transformation, not only are we trying to disrupt, external market, we're trying to disrupt ourselves and change our processes as well. So you just have to make certain that you're ready to move to that new process, that new governance that fits the new process. Otherwise, you're going to end up with confusion and probably some lost productivity and just some loss of internal goodwill around kind of what's the best approach to move forward. So just timing is key.
That makes sense. So as we kind of wrap up our conversation, do you have any last thoughts on business transformation that you want to share?
I don't know if I have any new thoughts, but maybe if it's okay if I summarize a couple of the the things that I think are most critical here. One thing I would encourage everyone to think about transformation, be driven by the confidence that you can succeed, not the fear of failure. Transformation is going to occur. It's going to occur in every industry. We didn't want to be a leader in healthcare. The healthcare industry is going to transform around us. But, I think we're better. I think the healthcare industry is better if we're leading it. So be driven by the confidence of success. As part of that, thinking about it, transforming when you're strong, not when you're in a position of weakness or you feel like you have to transform. I think as part of that, make certain that you're purposeful around kind of how you want to introduce the transformation, because again, transformation brings disruption, and you've got the right focus on it. You've got the right commitment to it. I would also point out again to transform to and for a purpose, not just for activity. Of course, execution, again, is the key here. Not that ideas and innovation aren't important, but execution is ultimately likely to be the driver of the success. And so maybe just as a reminder of the six C's: courage, communication, collaboration, change management, commitment, and culture. But the final thing I will say, because we're living it, yes, it's hard. Yes, there are challenges, but I am completely confident that with the right focus, with the right leadership, with the flexibility to adapt, that companies, that individuals can be successful in the transformative change. And make really meaningful changes within their business and even in their industry moving forward.
Well, Mitch, I thank you so much for bringing your unique perspective, especially from the healthcare industry, about business transformation. And thanks for sharing your insights with our audience today.
Thank you, Adam. It was really a pleasure to be with you.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.